Blog Talk Radio.
You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with.
Might
you
not.
Have no idea. Congratulations.
Y'all better tune in to Monday night, that's for Raw. To the only show doing a recap when it goes off. You know how Mondays go. Watch your Raw first, then listening to the Perfect Flex Radio. Shout out to the CEO, my homie Mike Knox.
What up?
AKA the Stephen A. Smith, the wrestler.
Get out of here with that.
And if you ever met him, you know he knows it's wrestling. Don't believe me, check out his title collection.
The King of Belts.
Haters, we don't stress him, cause we destined for greatness. Stay on the bench watching the franchise players. Shout out to Spot Face. What up, K of me? The crew better known as Three Count to you and me. Wrestling version of ESPN, first and 10. And for the fans asking, what's up with TNA? Check out Mr. Lopez, this show covers everything. And for the marks that just hops in the bag, y'all need some wrestling history, better listen to Chad.
They're
rolling up the latest SmackDown on competition too. Matter of fact, y'all, let me stop spitting, dude. It's time to tune in to the show the pros listen to.
Yeah.
Y'all know what it is, man. Y'all know what y'all better be listening to. Every Monday night after Raw. Go on to www.bdsirnetwork.com or call in 347-637-3859. This is the Perfect Flex Radio, man. Y'all, you know what it is. Hey, yo, Mike Knox, I see you, man.
You
got $1 million audience, man. Matter of fact, let's talk wrestling, man. Enough of this, man. It's your boy, Fred Knox. Get at him.
Do you smell when Knox is cooking?
Rat Mania 2 coming soon.
Do you smell when Knox is cooking? Neck filled with three X's. Cause damn it, I am hardcore. Cheer, let's get ready, baby. Perfect Flex Talk Radio, live in 5, 4.
Welcome to the Perfect Flex Radio Show, people. We are in the building. We are watching Raw right now. So listen, you know how we do it. We're going to watch the end of Raw. We're going to give you the results like only we can do it right here on the BDSAR Radio Network. Shout out to our man, Spotface Bayless. All right, people, right now you got CM Punk, the best in the world. You got no, yes, yes, no, Brian Daniels, Christopher Daniels, the American Dragon, whatever you want to call it. You know what I'm saying. 347-637-3859. Let's tune into the end of Raw and find out what's going on. Shall we, people? We'll be right back. 347-637-3859.
Into the eyes of CM Punk in that near fall.
Well, you can't blame AJ, I guess, for acting the way she's acted over the past couple of weeks. She's really been, some nasty things have been said to her at the hands of Punk and Paul Heyman. She called Paul Heyman earlier tonight a slimy, shady, greasy, creepy, worm-like excuse for a man. Those are his good traits. And look at Ziggler. And she can buy it in a barricade. The restraining wall has no forgiveness whatsoever. Daniel Bryan is the legal man and he's in trouble.
All the rules. All the rules, man.
That's right. He's trying to get... Good gosh. Did you hear the impact of that situation? We can see it.
Come on.
From where we're sitting, it sounded like two cars crashing. AJ doing her job, getting right in the face of Ziggler and telling him to get back in the ring with Bryan. Ziggler met Tim Bryan here. The cover. Forget it, what Dolph Ziggler said last week on SmackDown. He guaranteed that come Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, he will become the world champion. The reason? He holds the Money in the Bank contract for a world title. He believes Big Show is going to pick apart Sheamus, and then Ziggler is going to cash it in on the same night.
made the WWE champion, the controversial CM Punk, who said earlier tonight that he would not face John Cena inside Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, very emphatic about it as well.
Oh, and Daniel Bryan. No easy way to land. Not even a boot camp can land up there. Look at this. And he's going for it. Daniel Bryan going for the no lock. Going for the no lock on CM Punk. Submission maneuver. Center of the ring. Punk trying to drag himself to the ropes. Aiming beside himself because CM Punk may be forced to submit or sustain a significant injury at the hands of Daniel Bryan. What a
hard aim. Did he push it away?
Exactly. By Paul Heyman.
That's fair. You know what I mean? No, let's go. The fool is on the ropes right there.
As you hear the end of the match go off, I am the tag team champions. They're about to get their famous chant on again because that's what they do. It's sports entertainment, people. Is it not? Welcome to Perfect Plex Talk Radio. And in case you missed it, we're going to recap the theme song for you guys, and we'll be right back.
You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with.
Might
you
not.
Have no idea. Congratulations.
Y'all better tune in to Monday nights after Raw. To the only show doing a recap when it goes off. You know how Mondays go. Watch it Raw first. Been listening to the Perfect Plex Radio. Shout out to the CEO, my homie Mike Knox.
What up?
AKA the Stephen A. Smith, the wrestler.
Get out of here with that.
And if you ever met him, you know he knows it's wrestling. Don't believe me, check out his title collection.
The King of Belts.
Haters, we don't stress him, cause we destined for greatness. Stay on the bench watching the franchise players. Shout out to Spot Face. What up, K and me? The crew better known as Three Count to you and me. Wrestling version of ESPN, first and 10. And for the fans asking, what's up with TNA? Check out Mr. Lopez,
Mr.
this show covers everything. And for the marks that just hopped in the bag, y'all need some wrestling history, better listen
for
to Chad. They rolling up the latest SmackDown on competition too. Matter of fact, y'all, let me stop spitting, dude. It's time to tune in to the show the pros listen to. Yeah.
Yeah. Man,
Perfect Plex Radio. Y'all know what it is, man. Y'all know what y'all better be listening to. Every Monday night after Raw. Go on to www.bdsirnetwork.com or call in 347-637-3859. This is the Perfect Plex Radio, man. Y'all, you know what it is. Yo, Mike Knox, I see you, man. You got a $1 million audience, man.
man, say. Let's talk wrestling, man. Enough of this, man. It's your boy, Fred Nux. Get at me.
People, what a great night of Raw, or was it? Let's get into it, people. I can't do this thing by myself. He will be missed tonight. He has got some things going on. There's the technical difficulties of the world that we live in. We will be joined by today, other than Spot Face Bell is being here. We're with you, brother. We got the Barbershop News tonight's on the fastest rising, most successful show on the BDSR Network star. KME joining us tonight. What's going on, KME?
What's going on, man? I guess it's just this wrestling thing, so I guess we should hop to it.
But first, people, let's get a couple things out of the way. You know what that is. It's the results. It's the particulars. It's all the ways to get in contact with us. So reach us directly at 347-637-3859. Email out to the show at info@bdsirnetwork.com. Also, you're live right now on Blog Talk Radio as well as the network, bdsirnetwork.com. Follow me on Twitter. I am loud. I speak loud. I spell my name with three X's, and some of y'all don't like it, but ask your mama. I'm hardcore. So, people, moving on with the results. First of all, we started off with a tag team tournament as we had Ray Ray and Sin Cara taking on Primo and Epico. The winners, Ray and Sin Cara. Then we had Antonio Cesaro. Sorry, guys. Versus Clay, because that's what I'm going to call him now, y'all. It's just Clay. I told you guys he was not meant to go over. Look like I'm right now. Winner, U.S. champion, picks the big guy up, too, by the way. Then we had Miz taking on Zack Ryder. Then we had Ryback taking on, formerly known as Lord Tenzai. Now he's just Tenzai. Winner, Ryback with a Russian sickle, I guess, if you will, so to speak. Then we go into some Divas action, people. Eve taking on Beth. Winner, Eve. Santino and Heath Slater, winner by disqualification, Santino. But I told you guys, look out for the encore, the band. Okay, look at them. It's something about that team I like. I want to discuss that later as well. Okay. Also, Alberto Del Rio takes on Kofi Kingston. Sorry, Cammy, your boy's still king over the hump. Maybe that heel turn is coming sooner than you think it is, because there's so many faces right now. CM Punk can't and ADR can't be the only heels. Big Show is the Big Show. That really counts. Then we had a tag team event. CM Hill, Chicago made heels, like Chicago made Mike Knox, took on Team Hell No, and the winner. And I'm the tag team champion of the world. Team Hell No. KME.
What's up?
Welcome to the show, man. Thanks for joining us tonight. It's a part, like you're always a part of it, but thanks for filling in where you fit in it. I appreciate you, big guy. On the docket, first thing is first, what did you think of Raw?
You know what? I thought it was good. I really did. I wasn't, I'm not that happy with all the decisions being made, but I do see effort, and that's what I want to see out of Raw. And also, I have to say that I like the fact that Cena wasn't on Raw tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that, you know, I think that he doesn't need to be on every episode of Raw. I think with him not there, it really does, like, free up other wrestlers to do things, and you notice them more, you know? Like, even with Ryback, I really do think just Cena being on that show, if Cena was on the show, it would have overshadowed anything that Ryback did. So, you know, that kind of thing is cool.
Well, you know what? I have my opinions about Raw tonight. So we're going to go ahead, before I give you my opinion, 347-637-3859, get in so you can get your opinion in before we hear from you, the million-dollar audience. Also, the chat room is open. You know, I don't give enough credit to that no more. My bad. Shout out to my man Mike Smith up in the chat room and all the guests in there holding us down like they do here on the fastest rising, most successful network on the internet right here, the BDSIR Network's Perfect Plex Talk Radio included there. Inconspicuous by his absence, but not really inconspicuous, because at least I knew where he was. He come back, y'all. He used to weigh about 475 pounds, KME, right? Then he went to Florida for the 2 weeks. Who takes 2 week vacation? That's who. When you got that much money, that kind of a wife that loves you the way that he loves him, you got to come back with a tan wearing only 175 pounds, people. Yeah. Did y'all see the weight he lost? Only in Florida. Mr. is back in the building. What's going on, Mr. Lopez?
What's going on, guys?
We are fine. We are fine. How was your trip?
It was very, very good. I enjoyed myself. My wife enjoyed herself. I enjoyed going to Universal Studios to check out the Impact Zone. I went to two shows, and I can tell you both shows were very entertaining.
I hear you. That, and glad to have you back. Going to get into the TNA segment later. Hopefully you can give us some spoilers about what's going on, because we're going to give you a spoiler alert right now, guys. Listen, but don't spit it on the internet, because we're going to tell you what happened. At least we hope Lopez spills the dish. But Lopez, we're back. We're talking about Raw to get out of this. Get this Raw out of the way. What did you think about Monday Night Raw tonight and what you was witness to on television this evening?
Well, I kind of found it very entertaining. I do agree with KME about John Cena not being on the show. It does free up a lot of their talent, and it also gave us a future match between Ryback and CM Punk, which was very, very interesting. So I'm hoping to see more moments with Ryback and CM Punk in the near future.
Okay. Well, you know what? I hope I'm seeing that, but not right now. And before I go ahead and, like I said, give you guys my opinion about, what's happening right now on SmackDown, or Raw, shall I say, in my opinion. Let's get my man in here, Chad. Mr. Married Man. He's a bad man, by the way. Step up, ladies, move out of his way, ladies. Ladies, move out of his way, okay? He's married now. Stop it. Stop it.
Leave me alone.
Stop it. His wife is saying somebody will get their ass kicked. Welcome back, Mr. Now, part of the First Husband's Club, Mr. Chad Rivera. What's going on, Chad?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How's it going? I'm glad I'm back. Sorry, I was absent last week, but as you said, I was a little busy. But I'm back now, and I'm ready to go.
Hey, that's all that matters is that you're back and the place to be. Question, what did you think about Raw tonight and what they gave you on television tonight?
I was pleased with it. It was kind of mixed for me in some segments. The things that I did like, I will say, is I know I've kind of harped before on this program here about mid-card development and the tag team division, but I will say I am happy kind of with the tag team scene that's going on there. At first, I didn't like the Daniel Bryan and Kane pairing because I thought that would bury the division, but actually it's kind of freeing up a little bit because it's allowing some guys on underneath, as you see the primetime players, and, you know, they've kind of come up and get into different feuds and set up different things. And granted, you know, there are the jobber teams that there's still the Usos and all that, but it is getting some development and it's putting a shine on them with this whole tournament bracket that's happened, and I enjoy that. And Cesaro, he looked incredible tonight with that power spot. I from watching him in ROH, I know how powerful he is when he was Claudio Castagnoli, when he was picking guys up and spinning them on his shoulders without even holding them with his hands. He's
right.
Crazy. But the stuff that I didn't like, I thought the skits, of course, and the writing and the segments were kind of corny. Like, especially the opening one, everybody's screaming. And the opening segment, to me, it looked like a bad high school play. You know, the people just screaming at each other. And there's AJ there with the over-exaggerated screaming, guys, listen. I mean, it looked like a bad high school play, like something I could go down, you know, watch there for $5 on a Friday night, you know. But other than that, I'll give it about a B minus. It wasn't horrible, but yet again, it didn't stray me from watching more Monday Night Football with my Bears putting the beat down on the Cowboys tonight. So I'm happy with that.
The Bears. Listen, now you've heard from everybody else, and I see you holding 215. I see people calling in 347-637-3859. You guys asked me to feed you more. I guess I have to. For a while back, remember, I was on the Ryback thing. I'm a huge Skip Sheffield fan. One of the things we're going to go into later, questions everybody get prepared for when we bring that to the three count edition is Ryback being booked right? Okay. And here I go with my opinion of Raw. I think you're dead on what you said there, Chad. I think the writing was horrible. It, outside of the JR saving with the CM Punk, which how often is CM Punk in something bad? Outside of that, exchange, I thought a lot of it was pretty whack today, especially the Sheamus Big Show debate, which I'm a huge Sheamus mark again, like I used to be when he first came out. I'm really huge back on Sheamus again, but I thought that was very bad. It didn't go over very well with the fans. I like the fans' interaction. Maybe a lot of that had to do with JR being home, but I thought, were they piping that in with the crowd screaming, "We want Feed Me More"? Was they really piping that in? I don't know. I want to discuss that as well. But I thought Raw overall was good. And my match of the night, my match on Raw in about, I don't know, maybe 3-4 months has to be Damian Sandow showing the fact that I think he might truly be the next big thing in professional wrestling. And I love how even JR and them were referring to him as being a throwback kind of a wrestler. Did you not see Randy Savage? Did you not see, Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart and his wrestling ability tonight, guys? I mean, the fact that when he was running from him, when he was about to punch him with the fist, all the antics that really went on with being a true heel, I think he has it dead on. I really do, and I want to discuss that some more. But, I also give Raw about a B-minus, maybe a B-plus, but that's because I thought it did have good wrestling overall in the show. But from an entertaining standpoint, yet again, like we've been discussing here for a while, as Cammy would say, I can easily fall asleep on Raw any night of the week. That's just my opinion. I watch because I love wrestling and I report wrestling. I like to talk wrestling like you guys do. But I could definitely easily sit on this couch. And you know how that is? We got that fiber heat, couch, whatever you call this damn thing, microfiber couch. Not only is it hot, it lures you into a deep coma. Just ask Snow White. 347-637-3859. As we lost Mr. Lopez off the line. That's how they got it up in the And the Bronx, they lose connection all the time when them trains are rolling past. I know he'll call back in. Calling the 215. Let's find out what Reese had to say. But real fast, my man Mike Smith said, I'm going out at midnight to get mine too, Mike. So just keep listening in like I'm listening in. Okay, you ain't got to go nowhere. And like I told you guys, Lopez will be back. We got 215 calling in. 215, what was your opinion of Monday Night Raw tonight?
My dude, I gotta admit, I was flipping back and forth because Raw was like, I gotta admit, this one did not, I don't know what it was, but something from like the outset of me just had me like, and it takes a lot for me to like lower my head for Raw, but this week kind of did it for me. And I was like, wow. Outside of, like I said, the Sandow match, I was like, wow, I'm like glad it's football season right now, my dude, because, this one just, thank you, Brandon Marshall, for making my Monday somewhat great, because Dallas is getting their tails kicked again, but, yeah.
Well, I don't know what you saw in Raw. I didn't think it was too bad, Cammy.
No, I thought, I'm always the one that's ragging on Raw. I actually thought tonight's show was a good show. I thought it was a progressive show. I really did. I thought that they made steps in the right direction. I don't expect miracles. Like, look, I'm not a Ryback fan at all. I hate the dude, as a matter of fact. But he was put in a position.
Hate Ryback?
Yeah, I think he's worthless. But I do think that if they're going to push him, this is what they need to do. This is what you used to do back in the day. You take a no-name dude and you put him up there in the mix. He's had his, fair share. He's had his exposure. He needs to be mixing it up with the main event mix as sort of a temperature check, just to see if he's ready. You know how you stick the thermometer in the turkey? Mm-hmm. You make sure that they're ready or not. He's not beating CM Punk for the belt. That's not happening.
No.
But you see,
but you
see if he's ready for that next step. And this is how you do it. And with Cena down, they needed someone to step up. I would have preferred it be, a Kofi Kingston or something, or even a Ziggler. But I'm happy with them using Ryback, and hopefully this means something for Gil. Like I said, I hate the dude, but I do think that he can be marketed if used properly.
Well, here's my thing, and I'm glad you took us there into is he being booked right or not. I have my mixed feelings, honestly. You know, I don't know if I told you, I know I told Spotface, which I was completely wrong about, hey, maybe Ryback's going to help CM Punk some way. But as I saw tonight, I said, no, he has to be that next big face like Cena. In a way. You know what I mean? Like that next big body guy. Big body guy. So I was wrong about that. So it led me to other things to talk about.
But a lot of people on Facebook were like, Ryback's about to turn heel. Like they really thought that was going to happen.
I thought it was going to happen last week when I seen it in the Raw. I kept saying, that's going to. And you see, I don't know if you saw what I put. I tagged a certain wrestling website that likes to not give us credit for interviews that we give. You know what I'm saying? And try to take out, like, even your credits and things like that. They printed something up about how that was a mistake backstage and WWE never meant to happen. I posted it. I said 100% fake, false. You know what I mean? Like, these guys have no idea what they're talking about. You know who you guys are. Matter of fact, eWrestlingNews.com, yeah, you guys suck. Okay, I'm just going to keep it real. You guys, and I've been following you guys for 14 years, and you give nobody no credit for the things I do, and you give out crazy crap like you did last night with that scenario. But anyway, moving on with the Ryback situation. I think exactly what you said, Cammy, is brilliant. I mean, that's what you're here for. That's why you run your own show here on the network. As far as how things are going, I think they are doing the right thing. This is what you used to call it back in the day. They don't have it anymore. What would you call that match? The admission match, your initiation. That was always a
match.
The young guys would get bloody, right? That's you know they were going to get over. They got beat up. You know what I mean? That doesn't happen anymore. Now it's how can you go up with the big boys on television? And he went up very well tonight. But I have one thing that bothers me. Is it too? And you know I always try to separate them, KME. But this is too much Goldberg. This is just
you're right. I do think he is way too much like Goldberg. Except, you know, with Goldberg, I wasn't a fan of Goldberg either. But I took him a lot more serious. I was talking about this with Spot last week, just because he wasn't wearing a bunch of crazy colors. He didn't have a stupid catchphrase like that. His catchphrase was simply "Who's next?"
Right,
and that was all he needed. I think Ryback is a little.
But he didn't make that up. The people did. The crowd did.
Yeah, but still, it was still something simple and you know, like I think Ryback they kind of sometimes they tread on water with doing a little too much with them. I personally would probably not maybe put him in black trunks like Goldberg because then the Goldberg stuff would never stop, but. I think he needs to be a little bit more basic as far as his attire and, you know, keep up the Monster Hill type of thing. Because I think less is more with dudes like Goldberg, with dudes like Lashley, with dudes like Samoa Joe, you know, like these monster guys. You don't need all this smoke and mirrors, you know.
Well, take in mind also that Vince was always been very high on Skip Sheffield. We've always heard that he was high on his motor, on his in-ring ability, his skills. I think he's a little green. And I don't think
he's very green.
I don't say that too often, but I even think sometimes Del Rio shoots too much. Like what he did to Kofi Kingston today, first thing I thought about was, man, Mr. Anderson, anybody? Remember that? Nobody wanted to work with him. Like, first of all, Del Rio's been going over. And for Spotface, who's not here, he talked about today how he didn't like how they let Randy Orton go out with the Big Show. We talked about the Big Show today. And he said it would have been good for him go out with ADR to build it up when he comes back. Well, guess what they did, Spot? After the cameras were up there, that's exactly what they did. So good to hear that. But from you, Chad, real fast, what do you think about the Ryback thing? Is he getting built too fast? Are they booking him right?
I'm kind of mixed on that because I know how everybody was saying, well, they shouldn't make the Goldberg, you know, comparison, but if you think about it, that's what, almost 15 years ago. I mean, I granted in some of these minds of us that are more tenured wrestling fans, the real wrestling fans as we're talking about, yeah, I mean, we will have the flashbacks of Goldberg, but you're also thinking about an audience there that might not know anything about Goldberg back in there, and they're trying to get this guy over, so that's why he's connecting kind of with this younger audience that's getting this monster push going up there. I believe it was Jim Cornette that said that everything in wrestling can get recycled after 10 to 15 years and come back as brand new because there's always a fresh audience. I think that's exactly what we're seeing here with Ryback. But I don't know if I would put him. I understand. I could see it's kind of smart with Cena being out with the guy that's kind of stepping up right there in Punk's face, you know, is his roadblock. But I would kind of like to see it as the Goldberg thing where he kind of makes his way up and just is beating everybody, you know, goes through his mid-card, gets his mid-card title, you know, goes on up and challenges, you know, the hot guy at the top.
Do they have time for that being that no one respects their mid-cards? You know what I mean?
It's a thing where no one does respect the mid-card, and that's the thing about the wrestling business right now that's just bad right now is they have no patience to build anything. They don't let anything simmer. They got a hot shot everything and not let anything stew and get something behind it.
Well, could that be the fans' fault? Fans complain, and people say that they never hear us, but they actually do listen to complaints.
No, it's never the fans' fault, Mike. It's not. It's WWE's job to please us. If we're not taken to something, it's not on us. It's on them. They need
like
to do
said,
something.
He tells you what to like and what not to like.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe in that. Lopez, Ryback, is he getting booked right?
Excuse me?
Ryback, is he getting booked right? Are they booking
I believe right? He is. I think they need to slow it down a bit. I think they're just, you know, they're just rushing him into the top spot. And that's what my opinion. I think they just need to, you know, show a little bit, but not too much. You know what I'm saying? Learn how to
like
grab the rug right from under you, and just, you know, save him for like the big moments. You know what I'm saying?
Like a woman. Don't give me everything you got at one time. Leave me something for the imagination. And to what you were saying, Chad, a little Tobey Maguire. If you know, can they recycle a Spider-Man? And it's only been 15 years. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
About 10, 11 years. Can they recycle that? Those 10, 11-year-old guys who saw then are 20. What about the new kids? So a lot of people complained about that as well, but that's a great comparison. 347-637-3859. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with This Week in Wrestling Talk. After that, we're going to hear a little bit of what's going on at TNA. Mike Knox might be on location somewhere trying to figure something out. And then we're going to get back into this conversation. And I want to talk about this. You ready for this one, KME? Something that's going to shock everybody. Divas. Has the diva division come back to wrestling in the WWE? I want to discuss that because I think that's going to shock a lot of people as well. 347-637-3859 is the number to call in. Make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. We are live. Perfect Plex Talk Radio, baby. Y'all better get with us or get left behind because y'all better get with us now because we out of here. Peace.
This is Tracy Murray congratulating the best damn show in radio for 2 years and counting on air. I had a blast when I was on this show, fellas. So all the best to you, continued success, and I can't wait until the next time I'm on. All right, y'all. Peace.
People, the best damn show in radio, Radio Networks, is here. The flagship show, The Barbershop, is open each and every single Saturday night at 6:30 p.m. Before you go out and shake your tail feather, and fellas, before you go out, you know you got to come into the barbershop to make sure you look fresh for the ladies. Well, come sit down in the chair and let us give you the sports talk like no one can. The same talk you get at home in your local barbershop, the same talk you get at home and your favorite sports bar, all rolled into one in the barbershop. That's right, people. The CEO, Mike Knox, that's with three X's because I'm hardcore, aims to please. And please we will. Listen, we're going to talk NCAA. We're going to talk NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, mixed martial arts, and much, much more. Join us each and every single week as we give you just that. Facts and opinions, including the most important opinion, yours, the people. 347-637-3859. It's the number to call in. And come on, tell your friends to tell a friend to tell a friend. The barbershop is open. An appointment is waiting for you.
This is Tully Blanchard, member of the Four Horsemen, the Hall of Fame Four Horsemen. You're listening to BDSIR Networks with Mike Knox and the crew.
What's up? It's your man 50 Grand K and me coming to you from the BDSIR studio in beautiful Compton, California, where each and every Wednesday I will bring to you Barbershop News Tonight, where we're talking headlines, we're talking politics, we're talking policies, all the stuff that affects your world without any of the fluff. And who knows, Mike Knox might drop in a time or two. So stay connected and in tune with the world with the Barbershop right here on Barbershop News Tonight. That's 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. And remember, knowledge always, always, always equates to power.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's your boy, Jay Chris from the New Twist Show. Make sure you check out me and the sexy Miss West each and every Tuesday right here on the Best Damn Show on Radio Network. And we're going to be talking about the same crazy stuff that we were talking about before, but right now we have a new home. The Best Damn Show on Radio Network every Tuesday, 10 a.m. You don't want to miss it. You don't like the way, Brad, you ain't got to say shh. Listen anyway, every Thursday, him and Corey G, tell him what you tripping on any day.
Welcome back, 347-637-3859. Welcome back. Chad, what is this week in wrestling about for over 50 years? What you got for us, the guy?
All right, this week in wrestling history, October 1st through October 7th. On October 2nd, 1999, the WWF held Rebellion from the National Indoor Arena in Birmingham, England. The card featured Jeff Jarrett defeating WWF European Champion D'Lo Brown in a match for Jarrett's IC title. Kane defeated The Big Show in the No DQ match, and on top of the card, Triple H defeated The Rock in a steel cage match for the WWF Championship after the British Bulldog interfered in the match and attacked The Rock. On October 2nd, 2011, the WWE held Hell in a Cell at the New Orleans Arena in New Orleans, Louisiana. On the event, we saw Sin Cara Azul defeat Sin Cara Negro, Air Boom retained their WWE Tag Team titles, defeating Swagger and Ziggler, Mark Henry retained his World Heavyweight Championship, defeating Randy Orton, and in the main event, Alberto Del Rio became the new WWE Champion as he defeated CM Punk and champion John Cena in a triple threat Hell in a Cell match for the WWE Championship. On October 5th, 1997, the WWF held In Your House Bad Blood from the Kiel Center in St. Louis, Missouri. Owen Hart defeated Farouk in a match for the vacated IC title. WWF Champion Bret Hart and the British Bulldog defeated Vader and the Patriot in a flag match. And in the main event, Shawn Michaels defeated The Undertaker in the first ever Hell in a Cell match after the debuting Kane made his way down to the ring and attacked The Undertaker. It should also be noted on this event, prior to the event, Brian Pillman sadly passed away just hours before this event took place. On October 5th, 2008, WWE held No Mercy from the Rose Garden in Portland, Oregon. On the card, we saw Matt Hardy retain his ECW championship after defeating Mark Henry with Tony Atlas by pinfall. The Big Show defeated The Undertaker by knockout. Triple H defeated Jeff Hardy and retained his WWE championship. And in the main event, Chris Jericho retained his World Heavyweight Championship, defeating Shawn Michaels in a ladder match. Tons of birthdays this week in wrestling. Some of the people that are turning a year older this week are Robbie E., Sakamoto, Michael McGillicuddy, El Dandy, Hector Guerrero, Caitlin, Bullet Bob Armstrong, John Morrison, Linda McMahon, Abyss, Terry Runnels, Zima Ion, Bruno Sammartino, Barry Darso, Dixie Carter, Manu, and Rhino. Notable deaths this week in wrestling: Brian Pillman, as I noted before, died of a heart attack. AAA wrestling promoter Antonio Pena died of heart failure. Gorilla Monsoon died from complications to diabetes, and Chris Adams died of a homicide. That's it for this week in wrestling. Mike Knox, back to you.
Welcome, going on, people. 347-637-3859. Yours truly is on his way on location. Why? Because I'm up this late. The show don't go off, so I figured why not kill two birds with one stone? I'm going to go pick up NBA 2K. Yeah, how about that, people? We'll be talking wrestling right now. So, KME, what's that show that I keep saying just a donkey, a pimple on a donkey's ass?
Oh, Impact Wrestling.
Impact Wrestling, but you know what, though? To my bad, I got a lot of bad emails from fans saying, Mike Knox, you don't talk about TNA enough. You don't talk about TNA enough. I tell those people right back to you, hey, no disrespect, I love wrestling, but when TNA becomes something that I can watch it for, then I will start watching again. But that's okay, because I have people that's in the million-dollar audience, in the million-dollar barbershop just for you, and his name is Mr. Lopez. Mr. Lopez!
Mr. Lopez! Hold on, I think he's muted. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Now, you had the opportunity, the great opportunity, first of all. Okay, I'm a little jealous. Just a little bit. I don't get jealous too much because you went to Florida for 2 weeks. But you went to the TNA Impact Dome. You seen Hulk Hogan. You seen much others. What's going on in TNA? Because what I saw last Thursday, I think you should be ahead of that if I'm not correct. This whole thing about kidnapping the HMAs, kidnapping Hogan, kidnapping Sting, and then returning them to the arena. I thought that was probably some of the dumbest things I think I've seen in wrestling since Ralphus, and I'm a big fan of Ralphus, not a big fan of Ace the Base. What's going on in TNA? And you know what I'm trying to say. I'm driving. What's going on with TNA, man?
Well, for what I've heard, the whole thing about Hogan and Sting being abducted and being face-to-face, well, actually face-to-back to the leader of Aces and Eights, it kind of got me perplexed because I didn't know where they were going with this. But as I kept looking and he kept explaining that this wasn't about Hogan, that he wanted Hogan to just watch, it just dawned on me that he was just telling Hogan that you're not going to be in this match, and Sting is. So basically, it's not about Hogan. It's about Sting. And people got to understand what's going to happen at Bound for Glory.
Well, it's not about Hogan. It's about Sting. I've heard that one all before. But here's my thing. To the TNA fans like yourself, right, I always will say this. The wrestling at TNA is phenomenal. But the entertainment that although Raw has lacked at times and tried hard at times did not capture, I feel they have captured. TNA, is there a promise in this Ace of the Base? You had mentioned 2 weeks ago before you took your vacation. You took vacation, y'all. Okay. Before you took your vacation, you had even mentioned that you were not happy with the way the Bound for Glory series had ended. By being down there in person, has that changed your opinion at all?
As far as the Bound for Glory series, I was disappointed the way that it ended. But the way they are shaping the main event, and I was actually there in person, it kind of changed my mind a bit, because now you have Jeff Hardy versus Austin Aries, and in the meantime, Bully Ray just keeps sticking his neck out. Like, you know, he's going to be involved in this match somehow, that they're just going to announce that it's going to be a triple threat. Or maybe they're just going to make it some type of match where Bully Ray is going to be, you know, involved, and this whole thing is going to come out towards Aces and Eights. But we're going to have to actually wait to see what happens next Thursday. I expect the show to be very, very interesting. And
so you're not giving us no spoilers?
I'm going to give you a few spoilers.
Relax.
All in good time. I call it expect Sting to get his partner to go against Aces and Eights at Bound for Glory. My honest opinion, if Bully Ray does not go in the main event, expect Bully Ray to be Sting's partner somehow, and everything is just going to blow up in smoke. As far as everything else, I'm just going to have to wait and see because I don't want to make false predictions or they'll say it doesn't happen. But what I can tell you is that Samoa Joe becoming the TNA television champion was a good step on trying to bring this title back. When I was there, I actually saw the belt, and I can tell you for one thing, it wasn't the TNA television title that D-Von had. The title that they gave Samoa Joe is actually the second version of the TNA title that Kurt Angle held when he was champion.
So it's that Legends title that they did over.
Excuse me?
It's the Legends title that they did over?
Yeah.
Okay.
They basically changed the belt, and now that belt is now the television championship. I think they want to go forward and put a lot of prestige back into that belt. It's going to take time, but, you know, I'm hopefully that Samoa Joe is the champion. He will, you know, put people over. As far as everything else, I do expect TNA to get rid of some more knockouts. While I was there, I noticed that there was very few knockouts being produced on the show. So I would expect, you know, the knockouts division to be over with and done in the next couple of years, maybe like a year, the next year. As far as the lineup for Bound for Glory, it looks pretty good. You have a street fight with Bobby Roode versus James Storm. You have the TNA tag team titles in a three-way dance. That's going to be good. And the World's Heavyweight Championship, which is Austin Aries versus Jeff Hardy, which, again, I expect Bully Ray to be involved. As far as everything else, like I said, you guys are just going to have to wait and see.
I guess Mike dropped out. Well, that sounds interesting. You know, I'm looking forward to BFG. I hope it's a decent pay-per-view. I'm not looking forward to BFG because of anything they've done on television. But you know, I really want this Aces and Eights thing to be over and done with. So I guess I'm looking forward to that. Did you catch this past week's Impact, Chad?
I caught the first half of it. I've been busy with the wedding stuff, but I did read the recap on what's happening. For Bound for Glory, I will say for what TNA's done on past Bound for Glory is to make it seem, you know, important and it's going crazy. It seems this Bound for Glory build-up has just gone slow. It doesn't really have, you know, that power behind it as, you know, it's supposed to be their WrestleMania. And
right.
It doesn't, you know, it's not making me want to, you know, buy the pay-per-view. But I'll be completely honest, I would probably wouldn't have bought it anyhow if they would have had something great going on, you know, just because I'm cheap and, you know, that's how it is. But from a growth standpoint that TNA should have, it doesn't really have the power behind it. It doesn't seem like they're trying to go after people's money. They're not trying to, you know, get people interested in the product by having, you know, pounding, you know, these certain storylines. They're kind of going back to where it was, in my opinion, in the Russo era where there's just so these crazy storylines and they're throwing a million things at you rather than just focusing on a couple different things and making the hard sell, trying to get you invested and interested in something that's going on. I don't know. I'm just not feeling TNA right now, which is kind of sad to say because about, you know, 2 months ago or so, I was, you know, saying TNA was better than WWE. It was, you know, it was the hot product at the time for me. I enjoyed watching that more than I did Raw or SmackDown.
No, I agree. Like, I was enjoying it better myself. I always knew that there was a good possibility that they would go back to this, so I didn't want to, like, you know, make any emphatic statements. But, you know, I did have hope for them, and I still do have hope for them, because like I said when Dr. Pritchard was here last week, they need to be in a competing mode with WWE. They're not gonna surpass them, but they do need to be viable. They at least need to be Burger King, like I've said thousands of times.
Mm-hmm.
They at least need to be Burger King. And, you know, right now they're, you know, they're barely they're barely A&W. They need to be Burger King, and I hope that they get there soon. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, oh yeah, I agree. I mean, it's just they're. I don't know what they can do other than they just need to. They got the stars. They got what they can do, but they just don't have a vision on where they want to take things. It seems.
Right. No, I agree. Anyway, before we move along, did Mike give you? I think that's him. Mr. Knox.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I was going to actually talk
this
about.
This was a horrible idea.
Yeah, it is what it is.
I said that I would never do nothing like this again, and I did it anyway. So I'm paying for it now. But next question.
I wanted to ask about AJ as the GM and when is enough enough. That's what I wanted to ask. Just when is it time to take old Yeller to the field and lay off a couple rounds, you know?
Well, I think that's what we're looking at now. With the questioning of her for the last 2 weeks, to getting in trouble with the board of directors, Heyman putting a pull in, which was trending online. You know, Heyman GM hashtag was everywhere. Heck, Vicky was even a better GM than this. I thought Vicky actually was a good GM, despite people hating her so much. But we knew this was just a small fix anyway. So I think it's time for them to move on to the next month at least.
You know what? I never, like, my problem with Vicky as GM, I never thought she was a bad GM. I just thought it was something that ran its course, you know? I thought that you exhausted every possibility you can with Vicky. It was like, where else can you go with Vicky? And that was my issue with Vicky after a while. At first, she was fine as GM. 504.
What's up?
What do you think about AJ as GM? Yay or nay? You feeling it?
I think she's sort of entertaining, but as GM, she's kind of on a course, you know?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
You said what?
You're actually up to late 504. You're not on the air. Raw didn't put you to sleep.
Oh, dog, I'm with you, man.
Yeah. So, Chad, what do you think about AJ and the GM? Is it popping for you? Does it need to end? What's good with AJ as GM?
Nothing's good with AJ as GM. I'll take that back. I mean, she's good to look at, but that's about as far as it goes.
I think her looks are overrated.
You think it looks overrated? All right, well, teach his own. I mean, that's an opinion. You can't sit there and say one's right over the other. It's opinion. It's a fact. But
it's all,
I don't know. I get you, though. But I don't know. It's doing nothing for me. She's just gotten way too much, way too soon. She's not ready to have this main persona, I should say, on the show. She's unseasoned on the mic. She seems pretty nervous. She doesn't know how to deliver her lines properly. She just got way too much way too soon. She should just have, if she's on there, just maybe one segment, or just be the kind of GM that's just kind of in the back and maybe has the pre-tape segments going on. But her out in the live mic is just horrible. They need to end it. I don't know about putting Vicky back on there. I'd be all right with Heyman back on there just because it'd probably spice things up, and, you know, it'd be interesting. We know Heyman's past and what he can do and what he's capable of, so I'd be in favor of that. But as for AJ, it just needs to end as soon as possible, in my opinion.
I agree. 510. What you got on Vicky? You down? Not on Vicky. On AJ. Are you riding the AJ train, or you got off?
Hello?
510. Going once, going twice, and he's dropped. Okay. Well, for me, the thing with I harken back with AJ. I harken back to George Clooney. There was a time where George Clooney was a young, up and coming actor. He had just completed a stint on ER. He had done From Dusk Till Dawn, and that kind of put him over the top. And People Magazine, Esquire, you name it, were calling him the next big star. They were saying Clooney was the dude to look out for. And then he did this atrocity called Batman and Robin. And it for a little while, it looked like his career was unsalvageable. It looked like Clooney was going to go the way of, you know, other actors who never really amounted to anything. And it wasn't because Clooney is a bad actor. Clooney was just miscast. He was not in a role that he was suited for in Batman and Robin. And that's how I see AJ. I think AJ is talented. I think she has a lot to offer the WWE. I think that, you know, there was a time when she was hot, but this GM role that she's in right now has her miscast. It's not playing to her strength.
Boy, remember when I first told you, I thought they did it wrong when she should have been, and Jamie should have been the dupe since Elizabeth and Montgomery, where she was afraid of him, but still was doing everything she had to do. She played that role so well, then they changed her so drastically, so quickly. You know, but that's like Chad said earlier in the show, that's them rushing through storylines, rushing through characters, not letting people develop, not giving people the chance to get over in a certain role or sticking with something just because of their work from the outset and getting rid of it. That's their biggest problem. So will things change in wrestling? We will never probably find out.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess that's a problem with WWE as a whole right now. They continue to do what they feel is best, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And that was going to bring me to that, to the Sheamus Big Show segment, because I thought it was horrible. I say this about Sheamus. I say this with as much affection as I can. I think every segment where Sheamus has to talk is horrible. I think.
I agree. I'll second that all the way. That is. Anytime that he has to talk or is cutting a promo, he's got the most boring delivery. He talks about pretty much nothing. He has to use these cliches, and his promo always has to end with arse. I'll bet you $5. Go back and look at any of his promos. It always ends with arse.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Sheamus is a guy that's definitely being force fed. I guess the question is, are you eating up whatever Sheamus is serving, Lopez?
Can you repeat the question?
Are you sold on Sheamus?
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not, because at some point, you know, where is Sheamus' character going? I mean, he's been the world heavyweight champion for how long? And at some point, they're just going to have to realize they're going to have to drop the title from him. Because it's
right.
You know, you would have to say the same thing with CM Punk. How long is he going to be the champion? I mean, you don't want the two top guys that you have right now to be basically dried out.
Right.
You know,
so like it's funny to me how people's opinions changed. Just about a year ago, people complained that people didn't keep the titles long enough. Now here we are a year later, people are complaining that people are having the titles too long.
Me personally, I have no issue with Punk as champion. I think that he offers something fresh ever since he has the belt. His character has had an evolution with him as a champion. I hope he does lose it at the Royal Rumble to The Rock. I hope he holds it for that long. Sheamus, I can't say that. The same thing about Sheamus.
I'm huge. I'm sold. I'm 100% in with Sheamus. I think he is the new Triple H in-ring ability.
I wasn't entertained by
the debate, no. But everything else he's done since the debate, besides the debate, yes, I've been very entertained with what he's done. The things that what he did on Miz TV on Friday night, what he does when he talks to Randy Orton.
You were entertained by Miz TV on Friday night.
No, I was entertained by Sheamus on Friday night.
You were entertained by Sheamus on Miz TV on Friday night.
Yes, I was.
I think you guys don't give people, like you just said, enough credit. Listen to his mic skills. He's very funny in a arsh kind of way. You know what I mean? If you listen to his live remarks now, he doesn't take no mess from nobody. He's just straight up in your face kind of guy, like a Mark Henry. Where does his character go? I mean, they don't let people develop characters anymore. They shouldn't even have a character. You know what I mean? You got to think of it like that. CM Punk's character is kind of self-fantasy. He's been there a while, but he went through storyline. Simmons has always been that big dude to come in and just go bad. And now that's what he does. You know,
Kaylee, just real quick, I know you go through the corporate, and I know the website and have different things. How much is Sheamus actually bringing in, like, in merch sales?
He's not bringing in much at all. Because
I was going to say, when I watch, I don't see, I mean, I see maybe, like, a couple scattered, you know, that Rogue t-shirt or whatever type of stuff. But
yeah.
I don't see him, like, when I went to the live event, there was hardly any Sheamus t-shirts on, you know, other than little kids that might like him. But I don't know. I just don't see why. I don't know why he has his belt so long, because he's not bringing in this, you know, whole lot of money for someone having your number two title on.
Daniel Bryan is bringing in more money than Sheamus as far as merchandise sales are concerned. Sin Cara is bringing in more money than Sheamus as far as merchandise sales are concerned. Sheamus is not there. And I don't think a lot of it's his fault. I think WWE, when you're a face WWE World Champion, you don't have the freelance to be creative the way The Rock or Austin or even someone like Hogan was back in the day. You have to kind of fall in line to what WWE wants you to say or do. We saw this with CM Punk. When CM Punk was the face World Champion, he couldn't be edgy. He had to be a watered down version of what WWE wants him to be. You know, he can't be edgy, cult of personality. You know, he can't be who he is now. And Sheamus is suffering from that. Sheamus, I thought he was a lot more dynamic when he was a heel, but as a face, WWE
Again, like you said, they cut things early. Remember, they could have ran the King Sheamus thing for a long time.
I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, I heard he was being punished for some reason during that, you know.
Okay, but I know merchandise-wise, he is selling a lot of merchandise. He's not selling merchandise. He's not selling merchandise, but he's getting a lot of requests to do ads. He does a lot of ads at Kmart, Walmart, Target. You know,
I don't think they're requesting Sheamus. I just think that the WWE is sending him out because they're trying to make him the face of the company. But
exactly. I think that has what Rivera just said.
I'm sorry, I'm a little small.
Okay, I mean Sheamus has a unique look. He's got the size and the girth that WWE likes, and I think that they really want to market him out and push him out, and that's why he gets to do these commercials and stuff. And, of course, WWE is touting him as, you know, the face of the company, so they're gonna you know, gravitate to him before they gravitate to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't really think that has much to do with the way Sheamus is responding to the fans. You know, I could be wrong. I think that Sheamus, you know, maybe they'll let him be himself a little bit more.
I thought that's what they were doing. Frankly, I can tell you, if you listen to him more on the mic, that's what they let him do. And I just think it's because of the overshow they give it with him being, you know, super seen as people know. I really paid attention to him. Like, not you guys tell me how y'all point out stuff to me about Michael Cole, so like that, after I listened to him, okay, I'll see your point. Just take about 3 weeks to go back and watch.
I listen to him. He sounds like a dork, man. He's
uncomfortable. When he's cutting a promo, he looks very uncomfortable. It looks like he's one of those guys, like, he's got the lines in his head, and he's just trying to think of them while he's talking. He doesn't have that flow that, you know,
like
someone
anytime,
has. Like, he should,
like,
for someone that's been in there, like, Well, Sheamus has been there, what, like almost 5 years now? He should have a little bit more presence, a little bit more flow on that mic. This one, it seems like he's trying to recite the thing, the points in his head and go word for word instead of doing what they did in the old school where they took the bullet points, formed it all together, and then spit it out there.
Yeah, but like, well, my thing with Sheamus is he my biggest problem with him is he is out of his league when he's in there with certain guys, you know? Like, with Big Show tonight, when he's in there with CM Punk and, you know, cutting promos, CM Punk looks 1,000 times, you know, cooler. JR looked cooler than Sheamus did when he was facing off against CM Punk.
CM been doing it his whole life. That's what he wanted to do. As for Sheamus, he was just a bodybuilder who got lucky working out in a gym. You know,
right.
I look at it that way as well. So,
yeah. Listen, I'll say that I'm not hating on Sheamus. I mean, I guess it sounds like I'm hating on Sheamus, but I don't hate Sheamus. I was a fan of Sheamus in his heel turn, you know, when he had his first thing with Cena. I was a fan of that, and I met the guy at the autograph signing, talked to him a little bit. Super cool guy. I mean, I have nothing personally against him, but I just think his character going right now is bad. I think they just need to cut bait on him and, you know, try to build him up, turn him heel, and get him back up to this monster destroyer. I mean, for a big man in the ring, I agree with Knox. He's good, you know, for that big power style. I think he's a great, you know, power style wrestler. But for right now, this face run, this World Heavyweight Championship run, I think it's been a flop so far. They need to get that on somebody. I'd even go so far as to say put it back on Orton and then have, you know, the bitter Sheamus that he lost the belt, turn him heel there and, you know, build that program up.
Well, you know what? I'm going to just say this, and I'm going to mute myself back and duck out of here. The line's moving. I think you're overstating the fact, and what you're saying about his promos, you know, you can't make or break a person's opinion. This is where wrestling fans, you know, so we all like what we like, what we don't like. That's never going to change. That's what makes us great. 347-637-3859. But I think he's a lot better than just a power wrestler in that ring. The question is what I wanted to go to is he the new Triple H inside that ring? I think he is that damn good in the ring. I think he sells very well. He puts people over in the ring very well. I think he's very, very good in that ring. Maybe in that company currently, top five.
I think as far as overratedness is concerned, he is the next Triple H.
I think
Knox
left on that
right now. You know, if I was there, I'd have muted you on that one, right?
Okay, there's Knox right there. I'd
have muted you on that one.
that's just my opinion. Lopez, Sheamus, man, we haven't heard from you.
Well, I have my own opinions about Sheamus. You know, I do. Sometimes I do like his matches. I do like the fact that he's this tough guy that, you know, that seems unstoppable, but when you think you actually got him, he'll just turn it around and just beat you. But what I want to know is, are both the World Heavyweight Championship and the WWE Championship, is there going to be some sort of interest in the fans? Because you have both CM Punk and you have Sheamus. They've had their belts as long as we know. But is there going to be a possible, you know, are they going to lose the titles, or is there going to be any kind of room for a title unification to at least have one title and then have a whole big roster compete for one championship?
Well, WWE Corporate says that they have no interests or plans in unifying the titles. And from a business standpoint, it does kind of make sense because their roster is filled with a lot of guys, you know. So if you have one world champion, I guess basically what you have is Cena, Punk, you know. And I guess this is their way of kind of freeing up some space to guys like, you know, Daniel Bryan, Christian, and
We also have Dolph Ziggler, who's the Money in the Bank winner. He's just like being put on the shelf to find out where to go with him.
They're
his
trying
goal,
to
His whole goal is to be the World Heavyweight Champion or the WWE Champion. You don't want this guy that has so much talent to just carry around a briefcase like it's a cheap suit.
No,
Mr. Perfect 2.0.
Yeah, well, see, this is what I said a while back, and I got completely crapped on by Mr. Knox and Chris Spot about. I said that Ziggler needs to do the type of cash in where it's going to turn him into a face, where he's like, look, I'm not about to sneak behind your back, because too many guys have done that, and I just think that, you know, it would be refreshing for a guy to be like, let me cash this in, give you the briefcase, let's fight in the match, and I could beat you with my skill, that kind of thing. Kind of what they're doing with Punk now, where they're trying to coerce him into, you know, getting into the Hell in a Cell with Cena. You know, I think that, you know, Ziggler, I think he would benefit from something like that. If he does one of those cash-ins where he, you know, sneaks behind, he'll be world champion for a month or two, he'll be riding high, and then he'll be like The Miz, like Swagger, like all those other dudes who've done the exact same thing.
Yeah, and see, I can agree with that, KMB. Even if he doesn't turn, you know, face off of that, I can even see him trying to approach because he's a heel. His gimmick is he's that damn good. So, you know, why wouldn't he, you know, take it and just, you know, say, hey, I'm this good, I can beat you right here. And he says, he calls him out for, let's say, WrestleMania. He calls out Sheamus, and he can beat him on the biggest stage because he has confidence in his skills. If he beats him right there at WrestleMania, or he beats him, you know, even at Royal Rumble, that's one of the, you know, the, I know it's debated here, but in my opinion, I'll say it's the second biggest pay-per-view of the year. But he beats him there. That's instant credibility. That's star-making right there. He beat him right there, said he could. You know, that just elevates Dolph Ziggler right up to that next level.
Yeah, I agree. 504, what are your thoughts on all this?
As far as Sheamus goes, I mean he's not all that exciting. You know, he tries to be the funny guy. He's like the Celtic version of John Cena.
Thank you for saying that. That's my biggest. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but that's what I'm saying. He is just, like you said, he's the Celtic version of John Cena.
You're absolutely right.
To be funny, that makes you not funny. That's my
feel.
Problem with him. He tries too hard.
Yeah, exactly. He tries too hard. Like during the debate, he comes in with this with a tout, has some kind of mask, fake Rey Mysterio hollering or something like that, and he's over there cracking jokes. If I was a Big Show, I'm sitting there saying to my friend, I was like, man, if I was a Big Show, I just would have hauled off and cold cocked him and walked off straight up. Because, I mean, he is, like, not funny.
Right. Oh, and I have to make a note of this. This is a news story about this past Friday, SmackDown, and the ratings for it. And they were record low. It was a really low rated show, lowest rating since July. And Sheamus as world champion is not drawing the ratings that, you know, Daniel Bryan was drawing when he was the heel and world champion, or even Mark Henry was drawing when he was a world champion. You know, some people might blame it on football or whatever, but football doesn't come on Friday. You know, what's going on with Sheamus, Mike?
Hello?
I guess he muted himself. But I was saying, you know, Sheamus. Okay, the ratings of SmackDown are not, you know, on par with what they should be or what they usually are. Is Sheamus to blame for that?
I'll hop in real quick. Well, are you on there, Mike?
He's there.
Yes.
He's not.
He's there.
He's not. All right.
All right, well, I'll hop in real quick, and then when Mike gets back, he can take off after me. But I think the ratings for SmackDown, I wouldn't blame it on Sheamus. I think it's just WWE and how they promote things, because SmackDown is just the bastard show. I mean, everything is about Raw. It's Raw this, Raw that. They don't even really do the SmackDown recap anymore to see what you're missing out on and what you need to be tuning into SmackDown for. Now they have this third show on ION coming up that no one's going to care about. That's just going to be the C show. That's going to turn into Saturday Night, I bet you, or what? Remember when Superstars was on WGN? Their first the first match was Undertaker. You look, 2 weeks later, what do they got? Main event, Yoshitatsu and, you know, Zack Ryder. I mean, it's going to be the same thing on ION. They're going to have this big main event champion, then they're not going to care. But ION, I think they'll keep it because it'll probably be a big ratings draw for them because no one watches ION. But I will say, I won't blame it on Sheamus. I'll blame it on just the how WWE markets things and how the structure is. I mean, ever since the brand split, I know fans weren't happy with the brand split, but it did have, you know, the shows were divided. You know, why you should be watching SmackDown because, you know, these guys are over here and you don't see them. Maybe you're a fan of, you know, Sheamus and he's not on Raw. Well, then you want to go watch him over on SmackDown. If you had your guys and they got drafted to the other show, then you'll go watch that show. And I think that's what happened with that brand split. You know, they're all on Raw now. Why do you want to watch this B show where nothing happens on that show? You're going to stick with Raw, the A show where the storylines progress, you know, where the storylines are started and where the hot angles are.
Lopez, do you blame Sheamus for SmackDown's low ratings?
No, I don't, because you can't blame one guy for the fall of the ratings on the show. I think it's accumulative of a lot of things that WWE did that went wrong. I mean, for the past, since last year, WWE has been promoting a possible WWE network, which they were trying to get WWE to have their own network showing all the stuff that WWE has done in the past. But because they couldn't get the network, it failed. So now you have WWE coming out with all these other things like tout, putting stuff on Twitter, doing this new show called The Main Event, possibly doing like an animation show. You know, they're trying to at least keep the fans interested. And I think when they're doing too much at one time, you're actually splitting the fans away from what you should be doing, and that's Raw and SmackDown. I mean, this is what everybody watches on Monday. Now, Monday night, you watch Raw. On Friday, you watch SmackDown. I mean, at this point, both shows are starting to turn like how Superstars and Wrestling Challenge was on the weekend. You know, you have your jobbers against your superstars. You have sometimes a championship match happens and then nothing happens. The titles stay with the champions. I think WWE needs to do something to keep the fans interested. Right now, I don't know what's going to happen. But if they want to keep fans interested, a big title change needs to happen. You need to do something to keep the fans interested because, you know what, things are not happening the way it should be.
I blame Sheamus for the low rating.
I think you're absolutely insane and crazy.
I'm not insane. Okay, how is it a coincidence that Mark Henry's world champion, the ratings stay level when Brian's the champ?
Everything your co-host just told you is the reason and why. They are
no, it's because Sheamus is a horrible champ.
No, it has nothing to do with Sheamus. It's marketing. Everything in this whole entire world we live in is about marketing. If you don't market something right, it doesn't get sold. The word of mouth is the best thing if there is in the world. If I saw a good movie and I love the movie and you saw the good movie, you love it, we all tell everybody go see it. If that movie sucks, nobody goes see that movie. The same thing with Friday Night SmackDown. I've been preaching for over 2 years on this program. I'm going to continue to preach it here and now. Friday Night SmackDown, by far, not even close, by far, is a better show than Raw. No one gives it credit. It has better storylines, much better wrestling, and they keep the stuff going in the same order without jumping all over the place. But no one wants to watch it. Maybe partly because of what you're saying. I can't go completely against that. If you have a world champion somebody wants to see, they're going to watch it. So I give you that.
you know, put it on Rey Mysterio. Everybody's not saying, at least the Mexicans are.
Well, that's the thing. Is what I'm saying is with the other world champs, they sustained the ratings when they were world champ, and Sheamus is just not doing that. He's not, to quote The Miz, and I hate quoting The Miz, but he's not must-see TV, you know. He's just not that right now. He's just kind of there, you know, being a company
Damn,
dude that? Or whatever. What's that?
Hello? Nah, some idiot just started running off the road trying to get home. Just play a game like an idiot. All
right. He's not must see, is what I'm trying to say about.
Yeah, I'll agree with you, KME. But I think one thing that WWE is doing terribly wrong right now is it's oversaturation. WWE is, I mean, what was it, Raw? This was it last week or the other week where the ratings got to like a low two or like a low to mid two.
Yeah.
It's just oversaturation. No one's going to watch this Ion show. Let's be honest. It's going to turn to superstars, like I said. The Saturday Morning Slam. I mean, no one cares about that. And I just don't understand what's going on. I remember back in the day when in the 90s when you had one show and then, you had your little, weekend jobber shows like Lopez said, where, had the guy that was, they just beat him up to those three-minute squash matches. But they had that hook, that cliffhanger, that made you want to come back and watch it next week. This, you don't really have that because it's just a continuous thing. It's just a continuous storyline. There's nothing that
SmackDown
makes you want
to. But SmackDown has that. SmackDown is where your tag team division started. They're starting to flourish. SmackDown is where a lot of people come back and start their flourish. That's where the group, the band, whatever you want to call themselves, the Encore, got started at. That's where Wade Barrett made his comeback at. That's where Sean Cena, to be truthful about it, got his comeuppance at. That's where Daniel Bryan got his comeuppance at. SmackDown is that show. Yes, it's treated 100% like the big show. It gets no credit.
Yeah, but that was back. But that was back, a couple years ago with the John Cena and the Daniel Bryan thing. But
right
now,
it's
nothing.
It's all marketing. It's all marketing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I agree with
marketing.
That. Yeah.
If the company cared about SmackDown, which makes no sense why they don't care about it. You know what I mean? Then get rid of it. But if they care about it and promote it like they do Raw, you can't watch a SmackDown or any kind of show without getting everything that happened on Raw in that show you're watching. But you get nothing that happens on SmackDown. You get nothing that happens on NXT that was so bad because of the internet, and you still don't know nothing about NXT unless you surface YouTube and stuff like that and belong in the IWC community like we all are. No one hears these things. That's their company's fault because they're so much thinking that they're Apple that no one can come along and invent an Android. You know what I mean? That's where WWE is right now. They're Apple. Nothing can beat us. But guess what? This man one day is going to get down, and he's getting old, which we've already realized. Steve Jobs isn't around no more. If somebody can do something with wrestling, which I think it's going in a good direction. The question is, we've seen this dance before with WWE, where they start to make strides. All of a sudden, they go back, and they take us out. Think about it. The CM Punk fight bomb, we got nothing after that fight bomb for almost 9 months.
Yeah, the same thing with the Nexus, too, the summer before.
So, are they going to do what they're supposed to do? That's the question. I like the emergence of the tag team division. I like the emergence of even though the primetime players don't have a chance to win that tournament. The fact they're on the stage scouting, I like those kind of little in your windows about wrestling that we grew up loving, but they're starting to add back to the program. I think they're going in a very, very good direction, Mr. Lopez.
They are. They are going in a very big different directions. Right now, I mean, it's like, when was the last time we actually seen Vince McMahon on television since the night that he gave AJ the title of GM of Raw? I mean, is WWE starting to lose its luster as far as them having a leader to point them in the right direction? I mean, I don't want to say it, but it seems like WWE is starting to feel like when WCW was on a downhill.
Whoa, that's just like, that's Willie shooting no yelling. I thought we could be going to do that with AJ. It's not got that far because of what they're turning with Triple H taking over what we're hearing, the ins and outs of the storylines and everything like that. I think what they're coming up, the Rhodes Scholars, the way Dr. Tom Pritchard left on the show, thinks he's a young Billy Gunn and Road Dogg in that. You know what I mean? I think with Triple H finally, you know, as he further and further gets into his father-in-law's claws, take away a little bit more power and make a little bit more wrestling-oriented, I think with a balance of Triple H being wrestling-oriented, a balanced Vince McMahon wanting to sell money, it could work. And I think that it's starting to pan out. Now, I'm still not with the whole 3 hours thing. I damn sure don't see an eye on TV. I heard you say something about Lopez about the channel failed. I think WWE on demand is a great thing. I think that should be free. However, it's not. It's what it is. But, you know, they're in the right direction, in my opinion, KME.
I think that they are. See, the thing is right now, there's really, as far as just staying stagnant and breaking even, there's no wrong direction that WWE can go. And they're not in any type of danger of going out of business or anything like that. So, I mean, yeah, as far as that's concerned, they're fine. But I think, you know, the heights that they can go to versus the heights that they're at are two different things, you know.
Tammy, you have to ask yourself this. Do you think that Linda McMahon's political campaign actually did a lot of damage to the WWE?
I think yes and no. I think that that was I think definitely everything that they're doing as far as that's concerned with the PG stuff is motivated by her getting that Senate seat. But I don't see him veering too far off of that once she loses to Chris Murphy in November.
Yeah, this is one of the subjects that we actually talked about on Wednesday on our show, just the Linda McMahon campaign. We did get off on this subject here. In my opinion, I think it probably has damaged, you know, as far as it comes to edgier storylines. I'm not saying that, you know, like some of these other people, that we need to go back to the Attitude Era, because there was a lot of garbage in the Attitude Era. For as much as we like to glamorize, you know, Austin and Rock, there was, you know, the Mae Young angle, there was all these different things where they were beating women up and all this different stuff.
Yeah, with that chair.
Yeah.
I was going to go back to that because that was so disgusting, but...
But, yeah, I think this is a big part of the PG angle is due to the Linda thing, where they want to do this family-friendly stuff. And a lot of the different things like that where, you know, they're trying to put them in a good light, a lot of things that get shoved down our throats when it comes to WWE and the community. Be a star, I think that's definitely a thing for the try to put the Linda McMahon campaign over and put them in a good light. But as far as edgier storylines and things that, you know, when you watch the show, you're like, oh, why is this angle going on? They're talking like, you know, we're a bunch of kids. But the stuff like that, I think, is, you know, to Linda McMahon, where I think if they would have had the CM Punk thing and put a little bit more edge behind it, I think it could have, you know, taken off. But I think that whole thing kind of got shoved back because of Linda McMahon and, you know, the PG status.
And this is the thing, too. And you're right, Rivera. But what I'm saying, too, is every sport – you can't get mad at WWE for trying to appeal to kids. You can't do that because every sport on the planet has a kids division where they're trying to market to kids. They have NFL kids. They used to air in WWE. The stuff they have on Saturday morning is just a throwback to NBA Inside stuff. You know, it's something that every sport does. With WWE, kind of. You know, so, you know, contrary, that doesn't make it a kid's show. You know what I'm saying? It just makes it, you know, that's just a division of it. Because I remember one of the old personalities on this show who will remain nameless, and his sidekick used to always say, oh, well, they're a kid's show and this and that. And no, it's not true. More adults watch than kids. It's just, you know, and that's all how it's always going to be, just because of the athletic competition that goes into it. It's a lot easier for adults to follow than kids. With that said, you still want to get that kid audience to look good politically, which is what Linda's trying to do. It look good to sponsors, which is what you need to stay on the air. and make money, all that stuff is important.
Yeah, but do you actually think they're making money, or do you think they're actually losing money?
Well, they're making money, but they're also but they're not making as much money as they could be making. But you know, you get a lot of tax incentives and tax breaks when you work with Susan G. Komen for The Cure.
Right.
When you do that kind of stuff, it puts you in a good standing, and you know, when tax time comes, you have all this charitable stuff you could write off. So they're making their money. Are they making as much money as they can be making? That then becomes the question. Is WWE maximizing? Like, to me, they're not. To me, when Daniel Bryan, whether you want to call it a WrestleMania fluke or not, they should have went full throttle with that push. I will always maintain that because it looked good on television, I think that would have translated to, like, you know, weeks and weeks. What they did was they turned it into a heel tactic, and you know, that's what they did with it. I think they could have went to heights they never, because they were doing it outside of that company. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you find something good like that, you don't try to stop the flow of things. You don't try to go against the grain. You go with it. And I just think
and see that's what I was talking about before, earlier in the show, when they're just trying to capitalize and hotshot things. I mean, look at the CM Punk angle. That thing could have ran, you know, for about a year if him being out of the company and, you know, taking this title and, you know, defending it on indies or, you know, doing the little run-ins on Comic-Con, you know, doing that stuff like that. But no, they had this little, you know, people were coming in and watching this this angle that weren't really watching wrestling at the time or had a reinvested interest in the wrestling. So they got that big jump and the big buzz. Like, oh, we got a hot shot. We got to end this. We got to, you know, bring him back on TV as far as we can. If they would have realized that it's the slow burn, just build it up, have him come back to, you know, where the people want him to go, like, you know, just like kind of how in 97 when Sting was, you know, he was off for TV for a year. And then he finally went and he went against Hogan. Boom, huge buy rate. Huge fan interest. If they would have done something like that with Punk, I think it would have, you know, the payoff just for the Punk angle, it probably could have happened sometime this year. You know, we could have been thinking all about that and, you know, been happy with it. They could have ran that from SummerSlam to SummerSlam.
Well, but the thing is what I don't think a lot of people understand is that Punk is not a great face.
That's the thing. No, Mike, I have to disagree with you on that. I think that he's not a great John Cena. I think left to his devices.
First of all, you just disrespected me on my own program. You think I'm comparing John Cena face to a CM Punk face?
What I'm saying is this. Mike, you're a smart dude. You're not. I don't think that you're dumb, like, to do something like that. I'm saying that I think that if they would have left, like, remember what I said last week on the show with Pritchard? I said, you know, I don't really think they should be trying to overstate Punk's heel status. You know, I think that it was fine where he, you know, because he was the kind of bad guy that I liked. He was a bad guy who thought he was doing good, you know. And now it's just like with the making fun of the fans and stuff like that, he's just like every other cookie cutter heel in that company.
Yep, he even went to this to tonight where he made fun of the Thunder and put the heat over on that thing. He did this classic heel tactic where he said the home team sucks and, you know, you can't win any championships. That's what kind of heel he resorted to when before he was kind of that underlying one, kind of had that Austin edge to him where some people hated him back there, but some people completely loved him. Some people call it a tweener. I hate using that term, but that's kind of what he was before. Now he's just the full-out heel going to the, you know, the classic terms. But I don't like that part of CM Punk. I mean, I'm not saying he's horrible, but I'd much rather have the one before where he was kind of riding both sides.
And Mike, what I think, too, is it goes to the every face of that company has to be John Cena, because it just seems like everybody who is top face or considered to be a top face, they have to have the John Cena type run. The minute you become, like Sheamus, for example, you have to be corny. It's like you can't be you know, your own different guy. You have to follow that John Cena model of corny jokes, stupid one-liners, and, you know, that type of thing. CM Punk did it. Sheamus did it, is doing it, and, you know, I just think that everybody that gets that belt as a face is going to be having to fall in line with that kind of stuff that WWE wants.
Well, people, our time is up here tonight. We're going to cut things a little bit short tonight. I want to thank you guys for tuning in and listening, and make sure you go to iTunes and download the show for free. That's under BDSAR Network. You can get all the shows underneath the network, under that one, those letters right there to type in on iTunes. You get everything on the network included. Also, you can go to the website and listen to every show included. That's www.bdsarnetwork.com. I want to thank 504-215 for calling in, other listeners to call in, Mike Smith in the chat room held us down. Mr. Lopez, as always, with his insightful news on TNA, despite us ripping it every single week, he will not change or waver from it. Chad with his, the weekend wrestling review. KME, as always, thanks for filling in, being a team player. When the raises come, you will be the second one on the list next to my wife, of course. Then we'll get that. Then we'll get paid out there. But people, I love you guys. We tune you in tomorrow. Make sure you check us out as we do give you the new Perfect Plex Talk Radio theme song. We out of here, people. We got to go. We got bills to pay, and I got a wife to sleep with. What about you guys? I got a thing to do. Holler at you guys later. Peace.
You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with. You have no idea. Congratulations.
Y'all better tune in to Monday nights after Raw, to the only show doing a recap when it goes off. You know how Mondays go. Watch your Raw first, then listening to the Perfect Plex Radio. Shout out to the CEO, my homie Mike Knox.
What up?
AKA the Stephen A. Smith, the wrestler.
Get out of here with that.
And if you ever met him, you know he knows his wrestling. Don't believe me, check out his title collection.
The King of Belts.
Haters, we don't trust him, cause we best him for waiting. They on the bench watching the franchise players. Shout out to Spot Face. What up, KME? The crew better known as Three Count to you and me. Wrestling version of ESPN, first and 10. And for the fans asking, what's up with TNA? Check out Mr. Lopez. This show covers everything. And for the marks that just hopped in the bag, y'all need some wrestling history. Better listen to Chad. They're rolling up the latest SmackDown on competition, too. Matter of fact, y'all, let me stop spitting, dude. It's time to tune in to the show the pros listen to. Perfect Plex Radio. Y'all know what it is, man. Y'all know what y'all better be listening to. Every Monday night after Raw.
Do you
go on to www.